Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us abundantly poured out in your Son. And we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit this day that you would teach us to love one another even as you love us. We pray this for your name's sake. Amen. One of the great lies that we hear and often believe is that because religion is personal, it is also therefore private. It used to be said that there were three topics to be avoided in polite conversation: religion, sex, and politics. I don't know about you, but everyone seems to talk about politics. If our meat is anything to go by, we're also talking a lot about sex, but religion is, you guessed it, still private. This isn't the case in other cultures. I'd love to hear from our Chinese brothers and sisters whether people talk about religion in your culture, but certainly when I've spoken with people from the Middle East or the subcontinent, Africa, the Pacific, religion is always on the table. I think there's a bit of a moral and spiritual vacuum in our culture, and so people turn to internet celebrities like Brené Brown or Jordan Peterson for guidance. And my hunch is that non-believers are hungry for spiritual conversation. They just don't quite know where to start. And I think that's also true for us in church land. We often don't quite know where to start. Well, we're continuing our series, Habits of the Heart, practices that to connect with God and transform your life. And the different spiritual disciplines that we've been looking at develop different spiritual muscles. They help us in areas that we're weak in. I'm an extrovert, if you haven't worked that out. Give me a room full of people and I'm pretty happy. Claire calls this the gift of schmoozing. She, on the other hand, is an introvert, and a day alone with a book and some knitting and it's pure gold. The last 2 weeks we've been looking at disciplines that are perhaps a little bit easier for introverts: opening myself to God and relinquishing the false self. These are all about you alone with God. They're kind of a little bit more introspective, if you like. Today, it's the extrovert's turn. We are looking at sharing your life with others, practices that lead to interdependence and community. These are practices that, I have to say, go against the grain of how we often think about religion as being something private. Now, I realize that for many of you, that idea that religion is something private is how you've grown up. It's how you've approached a lifetime of faith. And especially if you're a lifetime Anglican. So I don't want you to just take my word for it. Rather, I'm going to invite you to come with me on a journey through God's word and what he has to say on the subject. So we're going to look at 3 points this morning. First, the one another's in the New Testament, and then two concrete practices, hospitality and witness. In Genesis, in the creation narratives of Genesis 1 and 2, God declares that all he has made is good, very good. That is until we come to Genesis 2, where God says it is not good for the man to be alone. As human beings, we are made for community. It is not good for us to be alone. And this is just as true for our spiritual lives as for the rest of our lives. The great 4th century theologian Basil of Caesarea put it like this: the Creator has arranged things so that we need each other. To grasp this fact, we only need to read the one another statements in the New Testament. One of the ways the New Testament describes the church is as a family. And so we read in Hebrews 13, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Let me see if I can pull that up and pop a lozenge in my throat so that I will manage to get through the whole sermon. Let's see if we can do that as well. if I can get it open. All right, here we go. So this is the spiritual reality. When you trust in Christ, you become part of the family of God. And this is why traditionally in baptism, you are given a new name. Your family name, that is your Christian name. And hence why baptisms are often called christenings. In Christ, we really are brothers and sisters. And you cannot love your spiritual siblings in private. A second way the New Testament describes the church is as the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, "So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Do you see that? We're not our own. In Christ, not only do we belong to God, we also belong to each other. If you did the Gospel and Life studies earlier this year, you may recall that in chapter 4, Tim Keller lists 9 community building practices from the New Testament. These he groups these one another's into 3 sets of 3. There are 3 practices that affirm one another. These teach us how to be friends. 3 practices that of sharing with one another, which teach us how to be family. And 3 practices of serving one another. So we're going to look at each in turn. So affirming one another. The first affirming practice is to affirm one another's strengths, abilities, and gifts. Romans 12:10, honor one another above yourselves. James 5, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters. And texts like Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 speak of different gifts that God gives people for the church. And that indicates that these should be recognized and affirmed. The second practice to affirm is to affirm one another's equal importance in Christ. Romans 15, verse 7. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. 1 Corinthians 12, 25, have equal concern for one another. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of others. James 2 verse 1, don't show favoritism. The third affirming practice is to affirm one another through visible affection. Romans 16 verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. Maybe not with COVID, but you can still show some affection. James 1 verse 19, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Ephesians 4, 32, be kind and compassionate toward one another. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. John Stott writes, the word one another or each other emphasizes the reciprocity of Christian care. We are not to leave it to an elite of professional comforters or counselors. These have an important role to fulfill, of course, but supporting, caring, encouraging and comforting are ministries which belong to all the body, members of the body of Christ. So affirming one another. Triplet number 2, sharing with one another. The first practice is sharing one another's space, goods and time. Romans 12 verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. 1 Peter 4, 9, offer hospitality to one another. Galatians 6:10, let us do good as we have opportunity. Let us do good to all and especially to those of the household of faith. And we get a picture of what this looked like in the early church in Acts. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. The second sharing practice is sharing one another's needs and problems. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily. The third sharing practice is sharing one another's beliefs, thinking, and spirituality. Colossians 3:16, teach and admonish one another. Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. 1 Corinthians 1:10, agree with one another. In Philippians, Paul urges us to be like-minded, to have the same love, be one in spirit and of one mind. And then the last triplet, serving one another. So serving one another through, number one, accountability. James 5, verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Romans 15, 14, instruct one another. Ephesians 4:25, speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Now, I realize this is very much breaking the private take on religion. Each of us needs to ask ourselves, am I open to correction? And what depth of relationship there is to be able to confess a sin to a sister or a brother and find love, encouragement, prayer, and accountability. It's a beautiful means of growth. And this leads to the second practice of serving one another, and that is through forgiveness and reconciliation. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I know I certainly need that. Colossians 3:13, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Galatians 5:26, don't provoke or envy one another. James 4 verse 11, don't slander one another. And in Matthew 5 and 18, Jesus speaks about seeking to reestablish broken relationships with one another. We saw a little bit of what those one another's might look like for ancient Israel from Leviticus. And finally, we serve one another's interests rather than our own. Hebrews 10:24, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Romans 15:1 to 2, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, in humility, serve one another in love. There are many more one another's in the New Testament, actually. But you kind of get the point, don't you? We cannot be who God calls us to be without each other. We cannot grow into all that God has for us without each other. We need each other. The spiritual life of the Christian cannot be wholly or even mostly private because we are members of the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in the family of God. It is through one another that God chips away at our rough edges. That's what bearing with one another in love is all about, isn't it? It's through one another that we learn how to trust God and each other, how to worship, how to pray, how to serve, how to love, how to be Christian. It's through one another that we encounter the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit grows in us his beautiful fruit. As Cyprian, that great African bishop from the third century, put it, you cannot have God for your father unless you have the church for your mother. Sharing our lives, of course, requires vulnerability, courage, and commitment. But these are essential for real intimacy and depth of relationship. It's not good for us to be alone. The Catholic spiritual writer Ronald Rollheiser writes, "We go to church so as not to be alone, alone in our joys, alone in our suffering, alone in the everydayness of our lives, alone in the important passages of our lives. We go to church to tell people we love them and hopefully to hear them tell us the same thing." It's beautiful, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, love one another. Well, with the remainder of our time, let's look at two particular disciplines that can help us share our lives and lead to interdependence and community, namely hospitality and witness. So Hebrews chapter 13 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." This, of course, refers to the story in Genesis where Abraham welcomes the three angels who give him that message that his wife Sarah is going to have a baby, even though she's very old. But he kills a calf for them. He gives them some food, and water. Great example of hospitality there. Well, last year we did a church life and health survey, and one of the great strengths the survey showed was our Bible study groups. I know many of you are involved in them, and these are just a terrific way for you to share your life and find that support, encouragement, intimacy of relationship with others, and for you to grow spiritually. One of the questions the survey asked also was, when you first arrived at church, did you feel welcomed and included? And 64% of us answered very much, and 28% answered quite. The next question was, do you actively look out for newcomers at church in order to welcome them? Only 18% said very much, and 25% said quite. And the next question was, have you hosted a function at your home and invited people who are new to church? 10% of us said yes, more than 10 times a year. 30% said once or twice, and 54% said not at all. We all appreciate the love and welcome we receive here at St. George's. But for us to grow as a church, for you to grow spiritually, personally, I think we need to work at the spiritual discipline of hospitality. This can look like having people over for meals, inviting someone out for coffee, being willing to make a new friend with the newcomers at church. I know not everyone's going to be able to open their home, but hospitality starts with an attitude. It's the desire to be a safe person who offers the others the grace and shelter and presence of Jesus. It's about creating an open space where a friend or a stranger can enter and experience the welcome of Christ in another. Maybe that just means being willing to say hello, to show an interest in the other person and give them the gift of listening. It doesn't mean entertaining guests where everything has to be perfect, but loving them, welcoming them in, sharing what you have. You could even ask them to help you clean up afterwards. We try and do this at the rectory by having potluck lunches. I'm looking forward to when we might be able to start them again for church. Bring and share. And if you want tips, I'm going to embarrass people here. Ask the Maskells and Dallases. They are super intentional about how they do this. So if you want to learn, get some advice from them. I know that many of you have been blessed by their hospitality. So how can you be on the lookout for newcomers at church? What steps can you take to welcome someone? Who can you plan to have a cuppa or a meal with? If it's not at your house, maybe at a cafe. Our world desperately needs safe people and safe places. And hospitality is one of the ways we can become God's welcoming arms for a hurting world. Well, the second spiritual discipline for us to grow in is witness. The second survey we did last year was the National Church Life Survey, and that said that 7% of us feel at ease talking about our faith with others, and we look for opportunities to do so. 7%. Not all of us are, of course, evangelists, but we are all called to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. I wonder whether this needs a bit of a reframe for us. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, and this is a real thought experiment. So just imagine your favorite thing. Maybe it's your footy team, Geelong for Jake. Maybe it's a book that you love. Maybe it's a holiday destination. Have you got it there? You're just imagining that in your mind. When you bump into friends, you want to share about this, right? So that they can enjoy it just as much as you do. Don't ask me about The Lord of the Rings unless you want a half an hour conversation, because you all should read it. It's fantastic. Best book ever written, right? I love it. I converted Maria and she gave me a shirt with The Lord of the Rings on it. It was great. And she sends me messages. It's fantastic. We naturally praise the things that we love to our friends. We want them to share our joy in them. Well, how much more Jesus? Is he not our highest joy and our greatest hope? I think this is what the Apostle Peter is getting at when he says that we've been made a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, so that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. A couple of years ago, we had the UK evangelist J. John speak here. He had a very simple process for witnessing, sharing your faith with others. Pray, care, and share. So who of your friends and family are you praying for regularly that they might know and experience the wonders of God's love in Christ that he has for them? How can you care for them, for those you meet? And when it comes to sharing, well, my hope is that we can do some training later this year, maybe in our Bible study groups, because we all can learn more. And why not talk about it in your Bible study groups as a regular point of conversation, how you're going with that, how you can grow. You could have a read of some of the great books that are on our church library, like The Reason for God or Making Sense of God. Maybe as you read the Gospels, as you read through each story, you can think, what questions does this story answer that my friends have? You could rehearse some imagined conversations with them in your mind or even out loud, maybe with a friend. If you're in conversation where you don't know what to say, well, just say, I don't know, and I'll get back to you. And then go and do some research, find out. Or you could invite them to have a coffee with me or someone you know who might be able to help them along. The truth of the matter is this. We love because God first loved us. We are the strangers whom Christ has welcomed through the cross. Our friends and neighbors, our world desperately needs the love of Christ. We're called to shine his light. We learn how to do that as we love each other. And as we share his love with those around us, so may we grow in sharing our life with others so that the love of Christ may flow through us. Let's pray, shall we? Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us in all of our faults and failings, that you were vulnerable in coming down in the person of your Son, dying for us, that we might be welcomed home. Please give us your grace to share our lives with one another here as brothers and sisters at St. George's. Help us to have courage to welcome others in, to be a little bit vulnerable. And we pray too that you may help us to bear witness to your transforming grace, your light and your love, your hope to those around us, this broken and dying world. We ask this, that we may taste more of all that you have for us, that you transform us by your Spirit, grow in us the fruit of your Spirit, that we can become more like Christ. We pray this for those around us, that they may taste your love for them. And Father, in all this, that it may be to the praise of your glory.